You're listening to Connecting Faith. And, you know, always being ready to give an answer for the hope that we have doesn't just happen without preparation and intention. Explaining why we believe in God and follow Jesus can be daunting at times. Or just getting into a spiritual conversation can maybe trip us up. So today on Connecting Faith, we're going to get some practical approaches and lessons on more effectively sharing our faith with friends and neighbors who may be skeptical. We want to move from thinking about sharing our faith to actually engaging in spiritual conversations. To help us do that, we invited Rick Mattson into the studio. Rick is an apologetic specialist for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, where he served as a staff worker for over 30 years. He's author of Faith is Like Skydiving and other memorable images for dialogue with seekers and skeptics. He's a frequent speaker on college and university campuses across the country while serving at both McAllister College and St. Olaf College in Minnesota. And Rick, we are always glad to be able to talk about this area and thankful that you have not just talked about it, but actually put it in practice, which is what you do on a pretty much regular basis, right?
Yeah, it's fun to be in college campuses. There's lots of conversations to be had out there, and if you pray your way into them, they're there for the taking.
Well, not all of us are on college campus, but we still, I think when we maybe evaluate how we're doing in our Christian life, it seems like maybe sharing faith, you know, if there's an area that needs improvement, that's often at the top, I think.
Yeah, and we have friends, neighbors, family members that need Christ. And our job is to be that loving, caring courier. There's a word for
it.
The courier of the message of Jesus.
All right, so we want to make these sessions, we're going to do a few sessions together, make them kind of practical and useful and maybe just some ways that we can have something to hang on to that will help us. So we want to talk today about, you call it, I guess, a template for thinking about evangelism. Let's talk about what we have in mind today.
Yeah, there's a booklet written by Sam Metcalf, M-E-T-C-A-L-F, Sam Metcalf. It's called Word, Deed, and Power. I really like this template because it's very comprehensive. Word refers to the proclamation of the gospel. It's the teaching of the Bible. It's making the scriptures come alive in the life of another person. And then deed is service. So this is us getting out into our communities and neighborhoods and performing acts of service, acts of love. One of the quotes that Sam has in his booklet, he says, "True faith is validated by how one lives, how one loves, and how one behaves. The gospel is lived out. It's expressed in action." And I really like that. And then the third component is power. So word is the word of God. Deed is service. Power is the presence of the Holy Spirit working with us and working in us in supernatural ways. And could I just give you an example of that? I staffed a conference recently, and we ran a track for folks who were seekers and skeptics. The prayer team came in, and they just felt prompted by God to talk with a certain arts student. Except they didn't know he was an art student. This was just a prompting from the Lord. So they said to him, this is the prayer team now, "We think God is pleased with your artwork if you continue to create for his glory." And I remember that day. There were 35 students in the room, and he was the only art student. And that was just a prompting that they had gotten from the Lord to talk with him and encourage him. There's a little supernatural leading there for the prayer team. That was really cool. Yeah. Sometimes when I walk on airplanes, I say, "Lord, use me today. I don't know how that's going to happen. Use me today, maybe to serve another person or to get into a conversation." So one day I was going down to St. Louis. I was on this plane, and I asked God, "I don't know how you want to use me today, but I am open." So I sat next to this student, and I had to take that first risk. You know, you're sitting on a plane like, okay, who's going to break the ice here? Nobody. We're going to sit in silence. And I said, "No way." So I ventured out, "Are you headed to St. Louis? Is that your destination?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm a student there." And I said, "Studying what?" She said, "Pre-med." And I said, "Wow, that's great. I could never do that. I could never do pre-med." She goes, "Well, I love it." And then she said, "And you?" And I said, "Well, I'm in a campus ministry. It's called InterVarsity. Have you ever heard of it?" And she goes, "Yeah, one of my friends go to InterVarsity." And she goes, "Yeah, what do you do there?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, we study the Bible and we try to apply it to our lives." And then risk number two for me was, "Have you ever read the Bible?" Okay, instead of just leaving it at that, "Have you ever read the Bible?" Because I felt God was leading me in this conversation. And she told me she's a Jewish person, not practicing, and we talked a bit about Jewish identity. Then she asked me about my Christianity. And I said, well, I'm an evangelical Christian. And she said, well, what does that mean? Thank you. Softballs. I said, evangelicals believe in the authority of the Bible and all that it teaches about Christ and salvation. And she said, oh, so you take the Bible literally? Well, I'm ready for that question. It comes up a lot of my travels. And I said, just the literal parts. Ruth, that was her name. And then there was a moment's pause, and she just looked me dead in the eye, and she said, could you answer a question for me? And I said, I can try. And she goes, am I going to hell? Mm. Whoa. Non sequitur.
Yeah.
Cut right to the chase. And she said, I really want to know what you think about that. Please tell me. I'm not going to be offended. Just tell me. And then the conversation proceeded from there. We talked for another half hour till we landed in St. Louis, and I was able to share the gospel with her and commend her to our InterVarsity chapter down there. And so, but that was just a God moment. God shows up in power, and he led me into this conversation. And I think had I never been open to the possibility of that conversation, it might not have ever gotten off the ground.
I love it that you prayed ahead of time, said, Lord, use me. But then you were willing to sort of open when a door may be cracked open. You were going to go through. You weren't just going to sit back.
Yeah.
And that's which reminds us, I guess, that we do need to pray. This is a spiritual matter that we're involved in it. So I know you've even got a little outline about some ways that we can pray for these opportunities and for the people that we have contact with.
Yeah. My friend Jim Olson over at Bethel Christian Fellowship, he likes to talk about digging a prayer well. And I love that analogy because it reminds me that we're in it together, that prayer is, yeah, we pray individually, but it's also a corporate endeavor. It's a corporate experience. But that we keep working at it. When you dig a well, you just keep going back to the well, back to the well, back to the well. You keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying so that when prayer is a lifestyle, stuff starts to pop in the outer world. And I think that's much preferable than the occasional prayers you just throw up there and hope something's going to stick to the wall, you know. And no, Lord, I'm back. And I'm praying for my friends who need the salvation of Jesus. So praying my way into conversations. I have a friend. He's a professor. His name is Larry. He's an atheist. I noticed when I was with him one day at a restaurant, Larry has the gift of listening and paying attention. And I thought, wow, that's a gift from God. Well, maybe I can return the favor. Maybe I could be a good listener of what he's saying as well, and we could have this really respectful conversation. And that's what happened, sitting at Famous Dave's one day just down the street here. It was really a remarkable time, and I was thinking the whole time we were together that, okay, I'm going to have one ear on Larry and what he's saying and really listen to him, and I'm going to have the other ear, maybe my right ear, on the Lord. What is he saying? So you're listening to two things at the same time. I just find that to be a powerful way to be in these conversations. Like, God, what do you want me to say to Larry right now? Honestly, I have no idea. And I'm trained. Like, I'm a professional, supposedly evangelist and all this stuff. I don't know what I'm saying half the time. But when you're listening to the Lord and following his promptings and really listening to that other person and walking through the doorways that God creates, that's when conversations really become fruitful. And I do think that prayer meetings at churches, we tend to pray for people's physical needs and health and so forth. That's a fine thing. That's the body of Christ caring for its members right there. I think we also need to get beyond those physical needs and start praying in a more missional way. In other words, praying for the mission that God has laid out for us with our friends and neighbors and family members so that we are upholding the witness that each of us has in our respective places of influence. And when the body of Christ prays missionally, I just think that's a powerful moment. When the body of Christ is digging that well together and then going out to where God has placed us, that's when stuff really, really pops. Yeah. I was at UCLA recently. I was in California for some meetings. And I drove up to UCLA on the 405, and it was pouring rain. It's not supposed to rain in California, and it was, you know, packed. And I got up there. I sat at In-N-Out Burger for a while just waiting for a certain appointment. I was going to interview a young woman who'd come to faith up there through our ministry. Her name is Nicole Chung, just a wonderful young woman, a biology major at UCLA, and I had the opportunity to interview her to hear about her coming to faith in Christ. A lot of it was her friends just lovingly praying for her and being persistent with her. They took her swing dancing. That was the first thing. And then they took her to a retreat, and they just loved on her and kept praying. And pretty soon she went from becoming idly curious to an active seeker of Jesus. And so swing dancing led to a retreat, and a retreat led to the preaching of the Word of God and a healing service that she was at. And pretty soon it dawned on her that she was open to the possibility of God coming into her life and having a relationship with God. And that's what happened. And I wrote it all down, and I'm going to put it in a book.
Okay.
But Nicole Chung, it was so exciting. And to see an example of friends persistently and lovingly praying a person right into the kingdom.
You can be a part of God's advancing kingdom work when you're praying and sharing your faith. We're talking about it today with Rick Mattson, apologetic specialist, and he's author of Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. You can connect with him at rickmattsonoutreach.com, rickmattsonoutreach.com. And if you missed part of today's program or want to share it with a friend, you can find the audio posted on our website. Go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. That's Connecting Faith at myfaithradio.com. You'll find the podcast archives, this and other programs available for you to listen to and share with a friend. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.